Uganda was about to sign. They are putting pressure on him. And I'm shocked that Museveni has buckled. Yes, he's stalling. He's not, you know. And you know, Uganda was even very strong on the gay thing, and they put pressure. You know, too. So if Canada doesn't want to be blessed, they can go somewhere else. The truth is that anybody that has any right business sense has to be in Nigeria at this time, because that's where it's happening. So if they decide to change their economic future by turning away from the blessing that is in Nigeria, then we'll have to pray for them that they will repent.
Let us hold hands. It's a prayer of faith. Later on, we can continue.
Yes.
Want to uphold the will of God.
Yes. Amen.
Father, we want to thank you.
Amen.
We want to thank you for President Goodluck Jonathan.
Yes.
We want to thank you for the Senate of Nigeria. We want to thank you for the House of Reps. That is one country that if Satan had his way, it should have been in several pieces. If the tribal spirits had their way.
Yes.
But if those spirits of division had their way, if those mami mata spirits had their way, they did not want anybody's head to come up. They wanted to waste the resources of that country because of your call on that nation. You have called that country to serve you. Because the Bible said in Matthew 25 that you call the nations and align them in front of you and put their judgment before them. My Father, and you put some nations on your left hand side as goats and put the other nations on your right hand side. And you said to them, they did not come to your aid. Hallelujah. You rebuked them. Father, we want to bless you. Nation speaks of people. There is no country without a people. You're talking about the people that will rise up from certain geographical areas and stand up for God and for his purposes. Lord, we worship you today. That Nigeria is not persecuted for corruption this time.
That's right.
We see the world you've given us coming to pass. You said Nigeria will export
righteousness.
So we will export it. That will be our export product. That as they have called us robbers and thieves and a nation of no-do-wells, soon shall they say, blessed be the Lord God of Nigeria. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we put your blood on that man's head. We don't care about his belief. We arrest him.
Yes.
We have power to arrest. Because we also are in a kingdom. Hallelujah. Every kingdom has army. Every kingdom has power to execute authority. Father, we arrest him for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And all his lieutenants.
That's right.
For you turned to Paul and you said, I give you all these people in this ship. I give them to you. Give us the people of Nigeria. The government of Nigeria. The nations of Nigeria. Father, we ask you that that nation will rise up and worship the Lord. We seek this opportunity to saturate Nigeria with the blood of the Lamb. That country has been kept because of prayers. The spirit of the red dragon in that country could not prosper for 55 years. Hallelujah. This is the first president that declared jubilee when he was elected. He did secretly allow the nation to be dedicated to God. He wasn't bold enough. He did it like Gideon. Hallelujah. Father, we ask. He called the Christians and asked them to dedicate Nigeria on the 50th anniversary he was not bold enough, but he wrote it down and authorized the ministers of God to intercede for Nigeria. My wife was there personally. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to remember your call for Nigeria. Not because of the nation, but the people that you put in that geographical area. Lord, you have used America to lift up the world. You have used nations at different times. You committed your word to England and to the language you gave them. England, English is being spoken all over the world, not because they are better than other people, but at a particular time in the race, they ran that leg for God. And because of that, you will never forget them. And you have not forgotten.
That's right.
Hallelujah! You have taken us through the fire. You have intervened in our careers just to bring us to England, that we might walk on the streets of England. Even when they reject us and try to eject us by all kinds of immigration laws, you always circumvent them for their own good, and they do not even know. You shut down our businesses, and we might walk the streets of this country possessing the land, because they ran that leg for you, even though they used it for political gains in many instances and did not crush the head of Islam, a wicked spirit, when the power was there. Yet, Father, because they ran that leg, you have a promise for them. Father, this is our time. Not because Nigeria is anything. Father, we want to be faithful.
Lord,
we ask you this time, destroy that red dragon completely.
Amen.
Destroy him completely in the north, in the middle belt, in the south of Nigeria. Destroy that evil spirit. Let your blood run, saturate the heavens of Nigeria. Father, and overthrow the principalities which you promised us. You said if we continue in this world and allow you to purify us and pull away from the gods of that land, I said you will give us the authority to destroy my water spirit. We see all the signs written over Nigeria that he is being destroyed. Hallelujah. Complete the job. By securing this man, oh God, not because he is good. Father, head hunt, go house to house. Let the blood of Jesus identify those who are out to set up the spirits that you are destroying. Hallelujah. If they will not repent, if they will not turn, hallelujah. He said there was nothing left for the Antichrist and the false prophet, but for the brightness of your coming to destroy them in the lake of fire. Father, let the judgment written follow now.
Amen.
For men, men are ready to allow the devil manifest. Father, they will not repent. They determined that they must dethrone the devil. Then let the judgments written apply right now, because there is no more time. Father, the people that you have called to bring your kingdom will not continue to be eliminated. For you said that those who will run the last leg, he said the two witnesses will fulfill this ministry gathered in sackcloth, and that whosoever will come again in the same presumption to say that yes, they should be eliminated so that Satan can continue. He said what they are thinking is what will happen to them. What they plan to do to us is what will happen. And that the fire that will come from our mouth will consume them. Everyone that has stepped into that shoe in Nigeria and have decided that over their dead bodies will they see God have his place. Let your will be done.
Amen.
Oh yes, my Father. Let your will be done.
Amen.
We say, you have withheld your hand for long. Now the cup is full. Bring forth the written judgment.
Amen.
That spirit will be overthrown completely.
Amen.
Because men are carrying the glory of that devil. And time is up. Father, we pray that they will not succeed.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Sweep the country. Sweep it completely.
Amen.
And take out the chaff. For you promised that at the end you will send your angels. Say the kingdom is the world. He said, and the field is the world. And Father, He said, you send your angels at the end to block up everything that offend in your kingdom and bind them up like sheep for the fire. So shall your children shine forth in the kingdom of their Father.
Amen.
And you say the kingdom is the world. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Lord. Secure your will for Nigeria.
Amen.
Secure those who have taken the steps to do your will. Thank you, Father. Father, you preserve Gideon and establish your kingdom against, oh God, the kingdom that crushed Israel at that time. Father, raise up your men that will do your will. And concerning this matter, in prayers and intercession, in governance and in security, oh God, and in intelligence, whatever is required, that kingdom come in Nigeria.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we have prayed in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen.
Father, we use that prayer upon the rest of the world.
Amen.
We are in England, we are in Europe. Father, our brethren travel to Asia and the East. They come from America. Father, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We use this prayer as a point of contact. Father, we saturate the United Nations. Father, the European Union. Father, the IMF. And all the places where men assume that they decide what happens to the human race. We pray that the blood of Jesus will totally disorganize their program.
Amen.
Totally disorganize their plan.
Amen.
That the prince of the power of the air will not be able to function again in these days.
Amen.
My Father. For you said we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Amen.
My God. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. My Father. And so shall we be with the Lord.
Amen.
My God. And you said there was war in heaven. One man child was cut off. Father, we saturate all the realms from where devils have prevailed over us with the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you to dethrone the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Uproot him in all the places where he has frustrated your purposes.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Father, let that arrest written in the scriptures, oh God, be hastened as it causes us to rise in brightness. Send that angel to arrest these principalities and put them away, that, oh God, the complete brightness might come to the nations of the world.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to read another time is gone. About just three scriptures. The first one is Judges 10, 16. The Lord has been leading me in a particular way, so that's something that I'm unfolding. And this scripture is part of what Brother Boss was alluding to this morning. I was asking my wife, I said, why haven't I been seeing these things before? You know? So it was like I'm seeing the Bible in a new dimension. I have mine. It's like I'm seeing the Bible in a new dimension. It says, and they put away the strange gods from among them and serve the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, it says, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Does God have soul? Does God have soul? Well, that's what he's saying here. He says that his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. You know, I'm just speaking the words. If you go back to, there are so many scriptures, we don't have time, but if you begin to look at the word soul, it shows that the soul, emphatically, the soul, he said, if a soul desires, if a soul feels, if a soul wills, if you go all over the Old Covenant, Old Testament, it says if a soul eats blood, he It's not the body that eats. It's the soul that eats. You see, if a soul eats blood, if a soul, you know, touches that which is unclean, then it becomes unclean. There is something there which we have been bypassing, but which is now being trumpeted, you know, it's being brought back again, and it's being reversed in our hearts. And it is a reality of who you are, a reality of what God has done in you, and a reality of where God is taking us to. And the reality of the new church, well, I don't like the word church, but of a new people that are coming forth on the face of the earth. The authority that has been released, that is going to be the next two scriptures I'm reading. But in Genesis, if you take it back, if you take this Judges 6, 10, 6, and go back to 10, 16, go back to Genesis, he said, and God pumped, he said, God breathed. That word breathe, it's the Hebrew word means puff. That is, you take, like, you know, when you, if you, in those days we used to play football, you take a little leather, whether it's leather or rubber, and you start pumping it. You know, you're inflating it. That's, and the Hebrew word gives the impression of, you see, when you say God formed, what it means is that God squeezed himself into that body. Into that clay, and he said it became living. So, in other words, God deposited a dimension of his soul into Adam, a dimension of his mind, of his emotions, of his desire, and of his will into that lump of clay, and it's like, well, there are different dimensions in which you can look at it. The scripture said that. He says that there's a woman, what's her name now? Hannah. That Hannah was there praying, and the Bible says that she poured out her soul.
Yes.
I don't know if you understand. She was pouring out her soul. And that's what God did. God poured out his person into that lump of clay. So it's like God released a flow. There was a mighty flow that began to, you know, come forth from God, and that clay, that lower realm of life or energy or dust, was quickened. In other words, God came from the mighty height and is coming down to the very, very lowest. And that visitation of God brought forth life, quickened that piece of clay, and it began to, you know, and it has different dimensions. In the sense that God, I can't say all the things coming to my mind, but the thing is that like Brother Bot is saying, we have to know, you have to go to God and say, God, what is the purpose of this thing that you have put forth? Why have you come forth in this dimension? You know, and to the young people and to even the older people, you know, God. You see, if you want excitement, there is no place to get excitement but from God. I don't know if you understand. God put the emotion in you. He knows how to excite the emotion. You understand? God put his mind in you. He knows how to feed that. And if you read the next 10 verses of scripture, he began to talk about God's provision to minister to that thing he has done. He said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. That is, there is a provision of God to minister to the soul, to minister to the mind, to minister to the emotion, the desire, and the will, and all that. And the other thing about it is that we don't have too much time to still continue in this realm that we are, you know, of what we are doing now, in the sense that in the reality of what God is interested is not the clay. Because see, the clay, I was sharing with my wife, the clay is like those of us in medicine, when you want to examine a patient, you wear a glove to touch the thing because you don't want to. So you see, God, the clay, the body is just a glove for the reality. The reality of God's relationship with you is in the reality of the soul and of the spirit which he has given, which goes back to God. So God is interested in the soul as his dwelling place, as the priest, as that which God wants to live, as that which must know God. And you know, he was speaking about the accountability. You know, say for too long, there are so many things that have come, and for too long we have been segregated by the church mentality. That is what I call location.
Yes.
That is, I leave my house, I'm coming, now I'm in church. Yes. After, in the next 2 hours, church ends.
Yes.
You know, brethren, that is Old Testament. It's an old order. You know, and God is calling people that need to go beyond that level of it. And that is the real covenant. That is the Holy of Holies church. That is the Holy of Holies man, Jesus. Was an example of that man, because in whatever situation he was connected. He had a relationship with God, and that relationship was viable. You know, as Brother Bot was saying, that what God wants to do is not that it's not a pastor situation where or an elder situation where it's the elders, then everybody is related to the elders. Then God wants every man to have a direct flow. That life that came, God wants it to continue. In other words, so it's a stream of thought. And it's just like today we've seen visions and all that. But you see, those are things that are supposed to be every day. I was having a thought. You wake up in the morning, the Hannah comes to daddy, God was speaking to me in the night. God was showing me visions in the night. This is what God is saying. And the things that she's saying are the things that daddy needs to know for that day. That is, you wake up in the morning, God gives you a rundown of what you're getting. That is the way we are supposed to live. But right now, these are things that happen maybe once in a year, and we are excited that God has given you a word. But the truth is that there is what I call Zion TV. You understand? You tune to that TV, you begin to see visions of God. You begin to hear the voice of God for you and for the people around you. You understand? And these are things that should be. And that's where we are coming to. That is the church that is coming from. There is a new church. There is a new reality coming out of this end time thing. There is a new reality that God is bringing for. And it goes beyond the labels of saying this fellowship, all those things are they may have been sufficient, but you see, they are leaving their usefulness in the sense that, because it's right now it's becoming a problem, because it's putting a limitation on God's people. It's not that you go around in a lawless manner, but you see, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, because what God is interested in is the soul. This thing that he has breathed, this deposit of himself in the clay, is the reality. And you know, so God, his soul was grieved. You know, so the measurement of God's, in fact, the investment, the account that you are going to, I'm going to give, is the account of the deposit of God that was given to me. God expects, he said, the man, he had one talent, he buried it. The other one had five, he multiplied. The other one had ten, he multiplied. In other words, there's a deposit of God in me, and God is good to hold me accountable. That's why it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, thereafter judgment. It's like, what have you done with this deposit of eternity? This deposit of omnipotence. This deposit of omniscience of God. This deposit of, what God deposited was a framework. That's the image of God. You understand? And that is a deposit. But God expects that you and I should be able to move it forward and be able to do something to it. Let me just read these two scriptures, then I'll just make a few comments and we'll close. I've been fascinated with Proverbs 16:32. I just Proverbs 16:32. It says, "He that is slow to anger is of more value to God and to the kingdom of God than he that that is mighty." And he said, "And he that rules, or he that has dominion over his spirit, than he that taketh the city." You know, so these are the giant killers. You understand? You know, Moses was able to slay Og. Og represents the emotions, sorry, the desire, because it speaks of a circle, the bottomless pit. That's an never-ending thing. And the modern thing now, the modern society now that we live, is ruled by passion, by Og. By, you know, you desire, you want this, it doesn't end, you will get a degree, you want to get another one, and you know, it's a, you know, it's like it's something that you get into and you keep falling, you are overwhelmed, and there is no end to it. And God is saying that just like Moses had to overcome Og in order to get into the promised land, we cannot come into that place without overcoming in the realms of the desire and in the realms of, you know, there are two of them, Og and Sihon. Sihon speaks of temper, the emotions, and these are the giants that God is measuring the church by. You know, so it's not a question of running around the whole of everywhere and say you are doing it. Yeah, it's good, but the thing is, there is a measurement, and that measurement is the measurement of the deposit that God has put in me. That God has put soul in me, emotions, and God expects me to have dominion. He says, "Have dominion," and what do you do? He says, "Subdue." You know, and you are subduing spirits. You are subduing energies, spiritual energies that are within. And that move us various ways. You see how the emotion is like it's so wild, like a beast. God says, your job is to subdue that. He said that the lion shall eat straw like the ox. You know what that is? It has come to the place where it has been dealt with, and it's been we have been able to bring it under control. You know, so the emphasis is on the temple. The emphasis is on the deposit that God has made. What is that deposit? The mind, the emotions, the desire, and the will. That's what makes up the temple of God. The mind is so, if you understand, these things we're using English language to talk about. We are talking about realms of eternity, realms of universe, because that's how big God is. And God is saying, I've come within you, and I have given it to you to overcome. You know, so God is saying, look inward, and the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. You understand? So that is the measurement of power, and that's the measurement of fruitfulness that God is requiring. Now, and that is what the devil believes that we cannot, we are not able to do, and that is the challenge that is coming to us. Let me read the other scripture, Proverbs 25:28. It says, "He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down with our walls." You know, so God is speaking of a church that will come into, that will break through the barriers. This wall is the veil of the of carnality, the veil of the flesh, and he said, "He that has no rule." That is the measurement, you know. So we need to have that in mind as we begin to reflect that Jesus said that build this temple, I destroy it. And he says, I will raise up a new one. And he was speaking of the dwelling place, the tabernacle of his body. That is the new temple, you know. And in this temple, there must be order. This temple, there must be discipline. Now, one of the aspects of order, there is something that brings order to the soul, and it's called wisdom. You know, that is, the Bible says that he that is wise is able to discern the enemy from far and hide the soul. You know, that was overcome that. But that the foolish, or that which is simple, but I was talking about praying about the spirit of foolishness, you know. You see, the thing is that there has been foolish. Bible says that foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. Or in other words, it's bound to the heart of the immature one. Now, a son that is immature, that hasn't come to fullness, that hasn't come, that is not a son. It's that which is stumbling from one simplicity to another. That means not being able to discern evil, not being able to discern the what the devil is doing, what the devil is planning, is blind. He said that the God of this world has blinded. You know, so for some time, there was a time when all those excuses can go, but no longer. God is now calling a church that must arise and come to the place of maturity. And the measure of that maturity is the measure of the rule over the different dimensions of the soul. And you know, one of the definitions of wisdom is prudence. You know, it's an English word that speaks of someone who makes an investment, and each time he makes an investment, is wise. He doesn't suffer loss. You understand? The other word that describes wisdom is the word shrewd. You know, say someone is shrewd. You say it's a shrewd. That means that individual knows when to take an action and when not to take an action. You understand? Another word that describes wisdom is wit. In English, they say it's wit. Say somebody is witty. You know, that means the person knows when to speak the right words, and you know, knows how to manage. That is the what God expects of us to be able to do to our soul. We should be able to know how to apply the soul. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means that if I'm going to walk in that path, then there is a starting point. And that point is the reverence of the Lord, is the fear of God, is the trembling, you know. That is in the constitution of my individuality, of my person, that there is a preference. God and the word of God and the things of the kingdom of God are number one. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing." You know, so in other words, there is a fear of God, and when somebody comes to you, there is a spirit that comes from you. There is a life there is a volume that you are. He sees that this one is one that trembles at the word of God. You know, there's a hunger, there's a testing, there is in the emotions, you know, in the desire, in the will, everything is centered on God. And if you look at what the Bible says about, if you actually look at the Old Testament, in every situation, it says, "You will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That word heart is not the Greek word heart. The Greek word heart is kupi. They use it. They are speaking about love. They are speaking about affection. You know, loving again. That is not the heart. The heart speaks of, the Hebrew word is leb. It means the inward, the midst of the individual, and that is the soul. You understand? So when God says you love the Lord, it means the soul, everything within, everything beneath the flesh. That is the heart. You understand? And it's talking about the emotions, the desire, the will. God doesn't divide it that way. We divide by emotion, but God sees the heart. He sees the fullness, the completeness of everything within you functioning. You understand? And he says you must love him with all of that. You know, and it, so, you know, it's like Moses said, we're not even leaving one hoof. You know what? So every dimension of your being must love God. You understand? And not just love, but you see, it must be brought upon the altar. It must be given to God. And the Bible says that thou will not leave my soul in hell. In other words, it says, every man deliver your soul from Babylon. You know, so when a man is born, his soul is domiciled, it starts from the beginning, it's in hell. You understand? And if you look at Exodus 12, it is the journey of the soul. Because it says they say you get their loins with a staff. You understand? So it means that the soul must make the journey into the tabernacle and begin to climb up, you know, to come up to the right. It's the soul that makes that journey, you know. So the church has, I use that word again. I don't know what else to say. You know, what you call church is a creation of the devil to give you a semblance of a form, something that you are doing, and you say you are worshiping God, but that is not it. Someone who worships God must do it in spirit and in truth. It means the soul must be brought. The soul is a priest. There's nothing that the soul does but bring offering. The major functioning of the mind is to bring. The mind is an altar. The mind is a platform upon which sacrifice is made. Do you understand? And that mind can become hardened. You understand? So Jesus said, "You put new wine where into new wine skin." So for my mind to be able to be responsive, the mind is like a computer. But see, what the devil has been doing has been to take away life, make it dead, make you unresponsive, not to even think about God, not to hear God. First of all, you must recover the mind by the word. You soak it. When you want to recover that wineskin, you do two things. You soak it in water, and then you oil it, and you put it in the sun. As you soak it in water, you begin to make it soft. You begin to bring back that elasticity, that natural feel. And then you now soak it in oil. And then you put it in the sun. You do that over a period of time. And after some time, that hardness is taken away. That's what the heart must go through. It says that when you shall turn to the Lord, that the veil, that word veil means that coarseness, that hardness is taken away. You understand? And that is what fellowship, you are coming to the Lord every day, turning your heart to God. You see, you begin to hear the word. You begin to, so we say that's the lampstand and the table. So that is the work of the holy place. That is the work of preparation, the recovery of the mind, because the mind is the one that is going to. That the mind is the ark. That ark is the mind that is going to be crowned with the authority to be in the place of dominion and government with Christ. You understand? And that's why the devil wants the mind, because he needs the mind to be able to function and carry out his own. He has the design for government also, you understand, to have access to the tree of life. So, I am an important entity to the devil. He needs me. You understand? Now, if I realize that and I know that I hold the key of life and of death over the devil, that his outcome depends on what I do. If I cut him off and if I give myself to God, then the fullness of God comes to me and I rise up to break him, because he said that the feet of the woman, what will he do? Will bruise the head of the devil. You understand? So there is an authority that is in, and the principle is winner takes all. It's not number. It's not number. It's winner. He said that's how battles have always been fought. Goliath comes to bring your champion. You understand? So God is requiring his champion. Are we going to be part of this champion? God is not looking for church. I hope you understand. God is looking for a champion. That's souls that will say, I will be enlisted. And when we enlist, then God presents you. You understand? And when he made that presentation, he is confident that Goliath will not last 1 second. You know, so, and it's going to happen on the 40th day. At the end of the day. So we are going towards darkness. God is preparing his people. There is going to be a confrontation. And, you know, at that battle of Armageddon, you know, the final clash, there's the midnight is going to be broken, and there's a new birth, there's a new order that's coming upon the earth. You know, so what God is calling us to is beyond church. It's not just fellowship, sing song, and I don't have a job, give me a job, I'm in school, bless me, I don't have children, you know, yeah, I want to eat. You know, see, after we have done that, we need to lift off our head. You need to take your head above those things and to see, you know, to see and to know where we should be going. You understand? You know, so as a group of people, we can make ourselves relevant if we key into God's program. We know where God is doing, then we begin to, you know, to work with Him. The devil wants to bring you to church. He will bring you to that place of church, and you know, and all the things that go with church. It's good. We enjoy it. You know, we enjoy church, and but this is a distraction from the reality, from the cutting edge, you know, of what God is saying. And the emphasis of God is very clear that He must have a people that will redeem their soul from Babylon. And is every man do it for himself, you know. So the bride has made herself ready, you know. So the young people, you are part of this, you know. So it's not an old people thing. It is, in fact, it is more for you than even for us, because you, the pressure is now, you know. And you must be careful of passions, you know. Passions, the internet, the social media. Those, it is designed for your mind.
Hallelujah.
And that mind is what God wants. Don't you understand? So you cannot give your mind to God and the devil at the same time. No. So you must, one must suffer loss. And it is going to be your decision. What would you do? Say that fleshly loss that war against the soul. That's where the war is. So, and you can win. Anything you, if you refuse to give your mind to the devil, he cannot do anything without your mind. If you so you need strength in your mind to resist the devil. Bible says resist the devil, you flee. Why will he flee if he's so strong? So you know, it means there's a place of authority where in our minds are strong, that we can resist the devil by the blood, and he flees from us. You know, and so we begin to take back the authority. You know, you understand. So say, I'm not going to think about this. I am not going to meditate about this. And it's so that's authority. But if a man says, I don't want to do good, but he doesn't have the authority, then he's, you know, and that's where man has been, and that is the standing up, that is the rising, where the church says, I will not go that way, and you have the authority to back it up. That's what makes you a son, that you have control, you have rule over your spirit, you know, and you have the fruit of the spirit, and the spirit of God, there's a fruitfulness, it's bringing forth the life. And you look at that lampstand, it's filled with fruits. You understand? So the spirit of God that comes into your soul is coming to illuminate it, it's coming to bring the life of God and cause you to bring forth a body. You understand? And that is the rising up. You know, so that's where God wants us to go to. But the church wants you to go towards a location, that is, you go to church. You understand? But here you are speaking about you relating to God, presenting your soul, preparing yourself for that bride. You know, the final thing I want to say is that there is a church theology. The church theology is bride based. You understand? And Esther did not go for that. That means, how you know it is that anything you hear, ask yourself, what is this thing underlying? Is it to meet my need, or to meet the need of the king? Now, the theology of Christ is Christ-based, is bridegroom-based. It's not self. So, most of what you are hearing in the church now is prosperity, prosperity. What is it saying? It's speaking about meeting the need, your need. It's not about you. It's about the king. So, Esther asked the man, say, what is it that the king wants? And she prepared herself to meet the need of the king. So that is the difference. So you in the church today, there are two messages. One is bride-based. God will build the house for you. God will bless you. God will do. So you measure the goodness of God by how much blessing He has given to you. That is a hallowed church. That is a church that doesn't care for about the bridegroom. But the real church doesn't care of itself. Esther did not take anything for herself. She was only concerned about what is it that I should do to please the king. And you know what she did? 6 months of hard labor upon her soul. And the Bible said any soul that will not come to atonement, that will not afflict itself, is good to be cut off. You understand? And then another 6 months with oil. That is, you know, it's a place of beautifying, and God begins to put in some quality, some godly character. That likeness of God began to be worked in. If there is no man, if there is no bitterness, if there is no repentance, there cannot be beauty. You understand? So first of all, God has to bring that place of repentance. Then he begins to walk in a measure of his grace. You know. So those are just the thoughts I wanted to share about where God is taking us as a people. You know, so we must have a direction, and we should not be distracted to follow the bright theology that all over the place. Give me, it's a supermarket theology. Give me, buy for me, bless me, protect me, deliver me, heal me. After all that is said and done, we must come to the real issue. What does the bridegroom need, and how can I prepare myself to meet the needs of the king? You know, and for me, I have chosen this other way. It's an unpopular way, many people don't talk about it, but that is what will satisfy the king. You know, say that the bride has made herself ready. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things. In other words, when you forget about your need, then God takes it upon himself to meet your need whenever it's possible. So you will never lack, because God will not owe you. You will never owe any man. You know. So it depends on what is the focus. Where are we pressing onto? And as we do that, we'll see that we will be a people that will be after God's heart. And then we will measure up in God's scale. Because God knows that we are protecting his interest, and he will never turn his face from us. Praise God. Amen.
Brother, please permit me for 3 minutes. I don't want to forget these 3 things. The first one, I want to say something about something he said. The other two, it's for us, but it may be pointing to Brother Vaught. Sorry about it. God is speaking on you, sis. But maybe for me, it was just God was just making me laugh in this place. The way he was dressing you up and showing me different pictures about your dresses. And I was a bit shocked at one of them. I had a good laugh, you know. But I don't want to, today, I don't know, I want to ask the brethren to allude, but you have really blessed us in the sense that, it's good for other brethren to come and make us to feel that what God is telling us, he must really love us, because we're just eyeing each other and thumbing each other because you're preaching our message. You're using the exact words that God used to tell us, using the exact examples, and you're even going deep and emphasizing, you know. So we're blessed to know that God cares about us. The words you're speaking, the words you give, the exact examples he's giving. You know, and I just want to add this to me before I go on to this one. And that's to say that sometimes when we read the scriptures that says the bride has made herself ready, you get frightened. As though, what am I supposed to do? That's just the area I want to point out. He touched it, but it may not be very... Only one thing is needed. One. Because Christ has done the rest. Only one. And it's in the example he cited. Two groups of women were being prepared for the king. One group, and each of them had the person assigned to do the job. Says, this man is an expert. He's given to the women to perfume them and make them ready for the king. Each of the men, you know what the king wants. All the rest of the women were asked, what do you want? And they told the people that were to look after them all the types of perfumes they wanted. Only one woman, Esther, she gave herself wholly. She said, Do you? What does the king want?
Amen.
You know what the king wants, isn't it? And the Bible clearly wrote that she did not prescribe anything. That whatever was provided for her by that person was what she submitted herself to. That is all you need to do, brethren. As simple as it is, it has turned out to be the most difficult thing.
I can tell you.
I can definitely tell you that in my life. I have not had breathing space from when I got born again. Why? Because God showed me something. And He was just following me around. And I knew that if I don't respond, it's finished for me. Can you drink of the cup that I drink? And I had seconds to respond. He asked me 3 times. By the 3rd time, the time was going. I had to respond. He was following me behind. I knew it was God. And I was just 3 months old in the Lord. So, that's it. That's all He's asking us to do. The Holy Spirit is in charge of what the king wants. There's no ambiguity about it. He's in charge of dressing. So, I was already seeing things. Then He started preaching the message. And I was saying, God, what's this? First, I just started receiving that. You were right when you said there was a promotion. But God just put it in perspective to me. He said, the promotion, it has to do with His mind. He's been overcoming. He's been dressing Him up. And that as He's walking with the Lord, I don't know whether it's something He's experiencing now or is God going to complete it. But God is talking about the seal, the sign of the promotion. He's completing the job. He's putting a band on His loins. He was describing the car like somebody with a belt on his waist. That he was talking about the car, but I was seeing it like a belt. And He referred me to Job. He said, why are you crying to me? Get up and get your loins and look around for every proud thing and humble them. Then I, God, will confess to you that your own right hand can also save you. Stop crying to me. Get up. Problem. Get your loins and exercise. Look out for every proud thing. Bind their faces in the dust. Then I, God, will also confess to you that your right hand is able to bring you to you. That's what God was showing me. That the battle is in a great general fighting the battles, but there was one area that God was heading for him to fully enter into the things that He's called him for. And that as He's walking with the Lord on the way, I don't know whether that's where He is or a band. He didn't put it. It's not that he will be exercising self-control over his mind. A rule, a band was put over somebody, belt up. And I could see, you know, you have this face cap, but you could see the band of the belt. So I was asking myself, he's a chief, he's an army general. Why are you not wearing a metal helmet? Wouldn't the bullet pass through this cloth? And God was making me know that the final victory is a seal on the mind.
That's right.
And that He's bringing you
there. Oh, yes.
As I was thinking about it, I saw you dressed. You were like a beautiful young lady. And now having a good laugh. I can't imagine you. All of a sudden, I realized it was a wedding dress. It like popped up like that. And you are still sitting there. Then I realized it was the same thing God was talking about. And then you had lines. Dress for wedding. But it was you. I couldn't imagine you dressed like a young lady. But I realized God was saying the same things to us. And He's kind of pressing it into our hearts that when God's talking about promotion, we have got it wrong before in the direction of what He's saying. Because we've looked at promotion like when immediately confirmed that cap meant promotion, a higher rank. In the church, immediately so many things will come to your mind. But God is quickly bringing us to perspective that your personal circumstances may not change. But the final victory, He said, hold on, you guys who are holding the four winds, till I complete the sealing of my servants on their foreheads. And I believe that's what God is saying to us. And I personally believe, I don't believe God just wants to pick on you. I think if he uses his life to maybe pass the message, you will appreciate better, because it obviously shows
the time.
Yeah, he has worked longer in the message, and it makes more sense to see him working. And as he's working, things are changing, and then he starts showing me different versions of what he's trying to say, so that we know that the work he has done for us is authentic.
Yes,
amen. It is satisfactory. There's nothing we're going to add to it, and there's nothing we're going to remove. So when he says the bride has made herself ready, you don't start thinking of the works you're going to do and the penance you're going to go through. All it needs for you to do is to turn yourself in to the Holy Spirit. And say, somebody is in charge of this temple. You have been given charge, all you're required to do. So say, you know what the king wants. I give myself wholly to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. And what, when the job is finished, the band on the forehead will signify deliverance from fears.
Mm-hmm.
Especially deliverance from the feeling of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, be not anxious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's talking about the spirit of mammon, people mm-hmm. are thinking it's money.
Mm-hmm.
It is tied to the anxiety in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Sometimes you have all the money you need, you are still anxious.
That's right.
Because you're fearing for now the losing of the money.
Mm.
When you have the assets, instead of you to feel secure, you get another type of fear.
Mm.
When you don't have it, you have a different type of fear.
That's right.
Sometimes I stop and say, my friend, I don't want to fear. Why is fear fearing me? I don't know how to put it in this. You don't want it. You know you don't want it. You know it's not you. But there's something in you that is part of the system. That is just, you don't know it. But God, things happen that you will ask God and say, oh God, how can these things be the way I have walked with you? You ask him such questions. Amen. But he will give you the appropriate answers that will make you know that that is the only way. So I just want to say that we don't need to fear too much. We don't need to worry or live here with much questions how the bride is going to make herself ready. All it needs for us to do is to do like Esther. All the provisions have been given to the Holy Ghost. We should just ask from Jesus to the, how he expects us to yield to the Spirit that will represent that complete giving over of ourselves at each moment. There's no once and for all that the Holy Ghost have dedicated myself. Not once and for all. It's a daily, every moment you see something that looks quite small, but it can represent an issue of non-yielding to the Holy Ghost. Can be an issue of demanding a perfume. But it may be a small thing. Amen. For somebody else. But for you, that small thing may be what represents you not giving yourself completely. Let's receive grace and yield to the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost reveal on a daily basis. That's why he says, take up your cross daily. There's no doctrine like death to self. Once you have died, I've looked at all of it from my experience. I've walked, tried to. He says, it's daily. You take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Mm-hmm. And he will reveal to us daily that area until when you begin to get into that mind, you will know. Like he's trying to let us know that it is a definite experience. It is an experience. That a person is walking and then a change is coming to him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, before we do another thing, please feel free. If you want to request for prayers, we are here now. Anything that the Lord is putting.